Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons and Dragons podcast for kids. In Tavern Tales Junior, we'll take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior. This is a podcast for kids and adults. The game is D&D. I am Will, and I play the role of Flash Golden Dragon. He's an old man that has a cloak on. He is a spellcasting fighter.
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Sasha Kikian, who is a wizard tabaxi who is lawfully good.
And again, I'm Robin.
I'm super duper really excited, ultimately excited. I'm just excited to play D&D.
Hello, my name is Savannah. I play the role of DJ Ashardalong, which is a dragonborn lawful good. She is a fighter, folk hero, and I am also very excited to play.
Hello, my name is Alex. I play the role of Christopher. He is a dark elf thief.
What is Christopher's last name?
It's actually Tuffer, because his first name is Chris, and his last name is Tuffer. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's Chris Tuffer.
And I'm also really excited to play.
Excellent. So, where are we now?
Can I explain it?
Actually, first thing, I'm Kyle, and I'm the Dungeon Master. And while all four of you will be playing your four characters, I will be playing all of the other characters. I will be the dogs, I will be the cats, I'll be the rain and lakes and trees, and I'll be the sun. Or if we were in the dark, underground underdark, I would be the giant light that runs up and down the central column in Menzo Baranzan. I am everything else in the world, and I will be here to help navigate your characters through that world as you attempt to do things. I am very excited for today's adventure. Where are we now?
We're in Menzo Baranzan.
We're at the Tuffer family house.
Yes, and did you just finish a nice breakfast?
Yes. I stole a golden mushroom.
Mm-hmm. And you've left the kitchen or the dining room where you had your breakfast. You have journeyed now to some sort of like room with a large table that has the map of Menzo Baranzan on it. And Christopher's mom, whose name is
Fala,
she told you to make your plans here. So now, let us sink out of our bodies from this basement we are in and this recording studio we've set up. Let us sink down here into the world of the imagination. We're falling through a beautiful sunlit sky on the Sword Coast of Faerun. We can see there are bustling cities along the coast. There are mermaids floating off the shore, and there's a big fight going on near the city of Fairhaven, where goblins have raided the town of Thunder Tree, and kobolds have stolen farmers and daughters from their homes in these giant rifts that are in the earth. And let's sink down below that. After all of that conflict and difficulty, let's find our way down even further through the stone and earth, down even further than that, into something called the Underdark, where lights have lit up. It is now considered day, in quotation marks, in Menzoberranzan.
And every time, if it's day, always day, I earn back it always.
What do you earn back?
My gems.
That's right. You now earned back your shocking grasp gems. Can you roll a d6 to see how many charges you've reclaimed? You got 6 back. That's all of them.
No, it's 9.
Oh, that's really funny, buddy. It's what if you turn it around the other way? Is it a 6?
Yeah, but I wanted it.
You want it to be a 9? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I wanted it on the 9 side.
Yeah, but there isn't a 9 side on a 6-sided die. You could count all the sides, and you could find that there's only 6.
3, 4, 5. I'm counting in order. 1.
Okay,
two.
Perfect. You count them in order, in your head, and I will let you all know that it is now day, and the light of the column is at the very bottom, and the glow is bright, and there is lots of light in the cave, the cavern of Menzoberranzan. It is now the morning. You've finished your breakfast. You've settled into the bodies of your characters, the dark elf, the human, the dragonborn, and the tabaxi. And the tabaxi is wearing her tribal mifwah necklace, and she's looking very, very nice with her cyan hair. Her big mane of cyan-colored hair. Chris has brushed his white hair, and he's rubbing the sleep out of his glowing red eyes. Old Man Flash is scratching his grizzled face because he hasn't had a chance to shave in about 3 or 4 days, and he has a big patch of gray, silver. And what color is Flash's hair?
It's now sparkling, glowing blue.
Right, yes, that's right, because of the special fancy permanent hair dye you have, right?
Yeah.
But your facial hair is still your normal hair color, so I'm going to say it's like a light brown color, or what color is his beard?
His beard is Alex's hair color.
Okay, so it's like a dirty brown hair. Okay, perfect. And that's the color of your beard, was speckled through with bits of white and gray. And we have our purple dragonborn in her purple breastplate, shining and glinting because she spent time polishing it over the night before she went to sleep, right?
I polished mine.
And you polished yours too. Excellent. You are standing around a table. And to recap, Chris's mom, Falah, has given you all a task. Take a couple of moments and talk about the task ahead of you.
Side note, how did Savannah get out of the net under the salamander?
Right, so to go back to that, which was way back, she was trapped in that net, which she cut herself free, and then afterwards everybody was put...
I'm out of the net, I would just still be underneath the salamander.
Exactly, but you're not under the salamander anymore, because everybody got arrested and taken to the tougher household. That's what happened last game.
Okay.
Cool, so are we all caught up to where we are right now? There's a task ahead of you. Set before you by Chris's mom. Let's talk about what that is. What's the task that you have to do?
We have to get the golden shroud back from the gold wicks.
I have a picture of what the golden shroud looks like. Would you guys like to see what the golden shroud looks like?
Yeah.
All right, here, I'll pass it. And then maybe Savannah can describe what it looks like to the listeners at home. So just to explain, that goes around your neck. And it's called a torque.
T-O-R-Q. That's how you spell torque.
It looks like, even though it goes around your neck, it looks like it would go on your head like a crown, sort of.
They probably might wick.
So to explain, because the picture is in black and white, all of that is gold. But it has a glow to it that you can't see in the picture, but you can see it in your mind. What is the glow? What color is the glow coming off of the golden shroud?
I want to say it's like sort of an orangey yellowish color.
Okay, kind of like fire color, sort of ambiance. It's not hot, but it is, it glows even with not doing anything. And that would fit right around your neck, and it would fit nice and tight. And what does it look like? Are there protuberances? Is it like, could you continue to describe the necklace at all?
It looks like two parts of it look like sort of cross shapes. And it also looks like there's sort of like nails or claws on it, sort
Ooh.
Of.
Yeah, okay. How many?
3. And it looks like there's jewels on it, sort of.
Okay, what color are these jewels?
A reddish orangish color.
Okay, excellent. And are those jewels what is causing it to glow?
Yes.
And is there any writing on it anywhere?
No,
you can't see one now. But Alex, Chris knows that on the back of the torque, of the back of the golden shroud, there is some writing in the drow language. What is that writing? What does it say? It's an inscription that has been engraved into the back of the golden shroud.
Property of the proud Tuffer family.
Perfect, perfect.
I bet they write it property of a different family of the other family.
So now that we know what you have to go get, the Gouldwicks also have something else. What else do they have, Robin? Maybe not something, but someone.
Do they have... I don't know.
Okay, so who's all here right now? We've got the four of you, and Flamma is also here, but he's in the background. Maybe his tummy is a little hurt or upset, so he's gone off to his room again to have a rest.
I feel like Eddie is there with the Gouldwicks, but I know that's not true.
We heard Eddie. The only thing that happened is what happened with Eddie that you know.
He cried out in the night.
He cried out in the middle of the night. Do you guys know where Eddie is?
No.
Nope.
Well, since I could turn into a dragon now, I could probably fly to him.
Well, you can't turn into a dragon now, but I will have a discussion with you post-game and after-game about what you mean by Flash's last name being Gold Dragon. Okay, Eddie is missing. Flamma's gone to go have a lay down. He says his tummy hurts. Maybe he's just missing his friend. We've got the four of you. Is there anyone else in your party?
Yeah, Georgington.
Georgington, he's here as well.
The person who's not here is Isaac.
Right, Isaac left way, way back before we started even recording. Good memory, buddy. Good memory on the poor little ranger guy who went to take a goblin back to Fairhaven. Who else is missing? Who did you go down here to rescue in the first place? Yes, Savannah.
The farmer and his daughter.
The farmer, the daughter, and?
Boris.
Where are they?
They were ransomed.
They have been ransomed to?
The Gouldwicks.
You need to go to the Gouldwicks. You need to steal back the golden shroud. You also need to rescue the farmer, the Arabella, and Boris. So, we have an insider on this mission, though, don't we? Because Chris has been to the Gouldwicks' house before. Because Chris, he knows very, very well the Gouldwicks' daughter. Her name is Chari. Because Chari used to be Chris's...
best friend.
And his...
only friend.
Oh, I think he had more friends than that. Well, maybe he didn't in the Dark Elf world, but she was also his girlfriend.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he was in love with Sasha.
I don't think he's in love with Sasha. They only just recently re-met. They haven't seen each other in a long time. Maybe their love will rekindle during the game, though. I don't know. Maybe they'll just know each other as really good friends the whole time. But Chari and Chris used to be very, very good friends together. And so Chris has doubtlessly spent lots of time at the Gouldwicks mansion, right?
Yep.
So, since you spent so much time there, you kind of know their mansion like the back of your own hand, right?
Mm-hmm. So that means he can go in and steal it.
I'm going to show you this, because you already know what it looks like. This is the layout and the map of the Gouldwick Mansion. But this is just a mansion. And it's in Menzo Baranzen. And what we're going to do, pass it around so everybody has a chance to look at it. There are some really key places and locations in this Gouldwick mansion. And Chris knows this place very well from his youth. And of course, it wouldn't have changed very much since he got older. You guys now have to make a plan for where you'll go, how you will break into the house, and where you think it's possible that Boris and the farmer and his daughter, the two halflings, and where the golden shroud may be.
I think after I get my shocking grasp sword all powered up. And why do I keep getting 6 powers back up?
Because you rolled a 6.
I keep getting 6s.
You roll really well. Where do you think in the house Alex and Savannah and Robin and Will, as your characters, you need to look at the map that Chris now has drawn. Let's say that this map I presented you is something that Chris drew from memory, and now you have to figure out where do you think in the house they might be keeping these new slaves that the Gouldwicks have acquired, and where are they keeping the golden shroud?
It looks like there is a room in the back past a stairways, guys. They might be holding them back there.
It looks like this is going to be a bit of a stealth mission.
Definitely a stealth mission.
I think it might be there or there or there or there or there or there. It might be anywhere.
Yep, that's a very good point, Flash. It might very well be anywhere.
So we have to check everywhere.
I know around it, and if it does come up, I know where all the storage closets are.
Because of the games of hide and seek you played?
Yeah, so we are able to slip into one if we need
but
to.
But I remember you and Chari didn't call it hide and seek. What did you call it?
Pie and seek?
You're funny. What did you guys call it?
Run and find.
Nice. Good job. Run and find. You've got the map. Do you have a plan?
Is there multiple ways in? Because maybe there's a secret, there's like a more secretive way in that we could sneak in from.
Yeah, but I know that there's probably a secret way into the vents.
Wow, it's a good comment as well. Chris, DJ's asked you a question, and so has Flash. What's your answer?
Well, there is a vent near the northwest area of the house that leads out onto the outside, so if we're able to get into the ventilation system through there.
How big is it?
I guess my handy-dandy multi-tool that I acquired back when I was in my village might be handy. I draw my multi-tool out, and it has kind of like a makeshift screwdriver on it. Not like a real good one, but like it's like made of metal, but kind of like leather wrapping, not like the best normal screwdriver, but it looks like it could work.
Okay, great.
I see, but there's like some stairs.
Yep, because there's more than one floor, but this is the main floor, and I will give you this. Chris believes that at this time, everybody who has been bought by the Gouldwicks, the three people, would still be on the main floor and would not have been given access to any of the subfloors or upper floors yet. And that the golden shroud would probably be kept here on this floor.
Yeah,
but
I feel like they might keep it in a very prized place because they might want to be like, this is our finest stealing or like capturation. Or they might hide it.
Guys, I think there's a way
over
there.
There's only two options, really.
Guys, there's something missing from this map.
Mm-hmm. What's missing?
This part.
Right. So that leads into the cavern walls itself, and there are caves back there. But they are little used and likely closed off. Only when the Gouldwicks have more people would they open those locations up for other members of the Gouldwick family to create their own homes. Because remember, all of this is inside the cavern and the caves of Menzo Baranzan. There's not a lot of room here for extra people. They have to make sure they keep their numbers at a certain size.
For some reason, it looks like I've been here.
It feels like you've been here before. Maybe Flash has been to another drow house. And of course, the drow like to keep things similar to how they were in the past. So maybe when they rebuilt a drow house when they moved to the surface realm, or you've been to Menzo Baranzan before and you've been to another different house that looked similar to this one.
I think I live in Menzo Baranzan.
Maybe.
Somebody did comment on asking me the size of the vent, and that is a good point. It's not that big of a ventilation shaft.
Would a person be able to squeeze through it?
Probably, but it would be pretty squishy.
Okay, well, hey, it's an option that you guys can pursue. So, Flash has pointed out the caves in the back.
Well, I think there's probably some, like, security. So we have to find a secret thing that we can find.
Okay.
I know about the security.
And you know about the security. So that's important. Good to know. We'll talk about security in a moment. There's the ventilation vent in the front northwest of the house. There are the caves in the back. Are there any other locations other than the very front door that you could sneak into the house?
I feel like there might be a back entrance, but like that's kind of sealed off through the garden, maybe.
There are no back entrances because the house abuts right up against the cliff walls where the caves are, and it goes right into the caves. There might be, but Chris doesn't know of any entrances like that.
Isn't Christopher the smallest out of all of us?
No, I don't think he's necessarily the smallest. The tabaxi's pretty small. You're all around the same height and you're all medium creatures.
Because maybe whoever is the smallest could try and fit in through the vents.
If somebody's the smallest, then I'm pretty sure all of you can fit into the vents. Because none of you are...
It looks like you can get over there.
And there looks like there's a couple of other locations you could sneak in. Have you figured out any of those yet?
Also with the vent, some of the entrances and exits to the ventilation shafts do have security.
Mm-hmm.
So if we tried to blast through, it would set off an alarm, which would be a problem.
Maybe. We'll talk about that in a moment. Any other entrances you guys want to discuss?
Is there any parts missing in here?
No, everything for the house is there. There might be some additional things that have been added since Chris and Chari were friends, but that's all.
Well, I remember once when I bet on top of their house, and I know there's glass on top of there. So, and it's really bigger than this.
There isn't really a roof to this house because it's made and it's part of the cavern. This is a very, very fancy, well-to-do house, and it goes up and down for a lot of levels. There are also additional levels that don't belong to them, that are just lower down levels, and there are stairs and whatnot that lead to this particular home, carved into the cavern walls. So picture it as though there isn't really like windows to the outside and whatnot, that it's largely just the front of the house is this cavern wall inside Menzo Baran's End. Okay?
I want to go in there.
Yes, I want to go in there too. So we've got two options ahead of us, right? We've got these caves in the
also,
back.
Also, I know of a second floor deck, but I'm pretty sure we're trying to keep it to the main floor.
That's a good point. That would be a great third option. Let's talk about the first two options that you guys presented. The vent and the caves. So, if you proceed with the vent, what sort of security is on that vent that you might think would be there, Chris?
I'm not sure, because when I was there, they were adding a bit of security, but I wasn't really interested in most of the security of the house, so I didn't really look into it. I know that some of the vents have security for sure. I'm just not sure which ones.
I know about one vent near here.
We know about the one vent. That's the one we're going to try and sneak into. We're not too sure about what the security is for it. Then there is the second way in, which is through the caves. Now, already I'll tell you, you'll have to do some serious spelunking to try to find your way into through to the back of their house. And as you go through the caves, there will be locks that you'll need to pick and traps that you might need to disarm. And it's not a place that you and Chari ever really did any exploring and run and finds doing.
If there's anything like strap, I have to like cut through it.
Okay. You cut through it with your magical sword. Well, we'll see if we can do that when we need to get there. All right, Georgington says, it seems as though we've got a plan. Which of these two options should we take? Should we go through the vent and the possible security problems there? Or should we go through the caves and encounter the unknown therein? Which of these two options do you all like? I might further add that Chris could just go and visit his friend. I mean, there's always the sneak in, but he could just go there in person. But yeah, then we would be supervised and watched the whole time.
Yeah, but that's like, Georgington, that's a good idea, but maybe there might be another way we can all go in, but only have Christopher be the one seat.
I was thinking the exact same thing with Christopher just going, because they might recognize him from when he was younger.
Well, Chris, are you and Chari still friends?
I can't be sure, but it's been a long time since I've seen her.
And when you last saw her, was it cordial? Did you spend time together in a polite way, or did you end angrily?
We had a bit of a fight last time I saw her.
So it might not be in our best interest to have you meet up with Chari.
That's what I would say.
Well, that is too bad.
We should sneak up as out of my costume that I have back at Christmas.
This magical backpack of yours just has everything in it, doesn't it, bud?
Yeah.
Which of the two do you decide to do? Why don't you have a little chat as a group and figure out which of the two options you choose to do? Georgington will only vote in case there's a tie.
I think we should sneak through the caves. We may not know what's there, but...
What if we run into more Umber Hulks? We could be delayed by...
It is by far and large a better idea, instead of dismissing someone's choice right now, to just make a choice of your own. DJ has suggested that she thinks the caves are a good idea. I'm going to gather that Sasha is going to say...
I feel like we should find a different way other than caves, because that could be dangerous, but... I'm undecided.
But you don't like the vent idea either?
I guess I vote for the vent idea.
I vote for the vent idea.
I think their best bet is the vents. Based off of what I know, all that's in there is an alarm.
Right. There are far fewer things that you need to worry about going through the vents as opposed to going through the caves.
Yeah.
What do you think, DJ?
I still think caves, because if we do set off an alarm, then what would we do? Because they know we're there.
But the caves could be useful because they might have put it closer to the back of the house to keep it a bit more well protected.
It's true, but once you're inside the house, you're inside the house. The goal right now is to get into the house undetected, says Georgington. So we have two plans in front of us. One, the vents, where we'll have to sneak out, and then in the middle of the day, because it is today, we will have to find a way to access the vent and get in. If conversely we try to find our way through the caves, we could easily get lost in the ancient caverns of Menzoberranzan. Not only that, but there could be cave-ins. There are problems on both sides. No doubt there are pros for both sides. Both of them will allow us to get in. We have to figure out which of the two options we choose that we can mitigate the most risk by what we can do. And it seems to me that most of you feel that you have the talents and the skill sets to get in through the vent, and that we might not be as lucky going through the caves as DJ would like. Is that the final decision by the group?
Yeah, I bet you that we won't split the party just inside this book called Order of the Stick, Book 4.
Well, we definitely don't want to split the party. That would be a horrible choice. Okay, so we make our plans. Is there anything that we need to ask Chris's mom to have for our mission?
I asked Christopher. Or maybe I don't know, but I really want to know if there's a way that we can, like, hack into the alarms and have it not set off.
Well, I could ask my mom for a disabler, but they are pretty pricey and sometimes flake out.
I remember Chris giving me his game board, and it's right here in my hand.
Interesting. Okay.
I think we need a disabler. That might help our problem, and we can get in and grab everyone and leave.
But as I said, they sometimes flake out, so if it flakes out when we're in the middle of hacking through this system, the alarm will probably catch it.
That's risky, but it's our only option.
Well, it's not our only. We could go for not doing the disabler.
Or we could do none of them. We could have did my plan.
Well, you didn't share your plan, so I guess it wasn't really on the table just now.
We're playing on a table, Alex.
That was funny. So you could ask your mom if she has a wand of dispel magic. That would help. That would be a way to hack the security on the thing if it's been alarmed or there's some other magical trap that is put upon it. And also, you are a rogue and you are able to disarm traps and any sort of security that would be there. You might be able to disarm it too. Is there anything else that you guys might need?
Think about it hard, guys, because this is our only option and my mom will probably pretty much give us anything that we need right now. So think up everything that we might need.
We might want to go for a stealth check just to make sure, like, in case the alarms do go.
Was there anything else that Chris's mom could provide you to help you out?
Maybe a stun dart of some kind in case somebody spots us.
Okay, that's something else you can ask for.
I wanted to ask if there's any details where they could possibly be keeping them so we have a clear direction.
That you don't have. And Chris's mom already made it clear that they have them at the house but wouldn't know where they were. But I have told you that they're all on that one main level.
Means we'd have to search the entire main.
Okay, so you approach Chris's mom after your meeting. Chris, you go up to your mom and you're going to ask her for the wand of dispel magic and for some sort of stun dart. Your mom does not seem happy that you're asking her for things. So when you go to your mom, you need to make a persuasion check. Do you want to make the check now and then role play what the result is going to be? Or do you want to role play your ask? And if it's a really good role play, I'll give you advantage. But if it's a really bad role play, I'll give you disadvantage. What would you like to do? Roll first or roll after?
Roll first.
All right, roll it up. Roll your persuasion skill check. Is anybody going with Christopher to help and try to give him advantage on the check? DJ's going to go?
Yes.
How are you going to help him?
I'm probably going to say, like, why we need the stuff to try and help persuade his mom into giving us the stuff.
Okay, yeah, you can have advantage.
I'll help him.
You'll be there too? All right, then you definitely can have advantage. You get to roll both those dice. Tell me the higher one plus your persuasion skill.
17.
That is a very good roll. Now, let's try your role play. So the three of you approach Christopher's mom's office. She is sitting there and she is reading a tome of magic. And she looks up at you and she closes the tome with a loud thump and a bunch of dust comes off of the tome. And she says, well, have you made your plan?
Yes, we have. But
yes, we have.
We're going to need some extra materials.
Why would I help you with this?
Because with the extra materials, we'll be able to continue our plan and hopefully be able to sneak in and get our friends and the golden
shroud.
I don't care about your friends, Chris. Oh, I wish you could be more like your sister, Kidlin. That's fine. Go, fetch the golden shroud. What is it you need from me?
We would please like a stun dart and a disabler, if possible.
She sighs heavily, dramatically. She gets up from her desk. She walks back and forth with her arms behind her back, looking at you three with a disdainful, unhappy expression. And she says,
I feel like I'm in the doorway. And I'm giving her this look of like, if you even lay a hand on these people, you're going to pay for the rest of your life, lady.
She does not make eye contact with you.
Well, I say, I know what you're thinking to do with my friends when they're not human.
She doesn't reply to you either. She just walks back and forth. And then she says, fine, I have made my decision. You may have one of those items. Pick.
Can we all pick one?
You're very sweet, Will. You're just too adorable. Fine, since there's five of you going, and you've only asked for two things, as long as you return them to me upon the conclusion of fetching me the golden shroud, then I will grant them to you. But I ask of you an additional favor then.
What is it?
What?
The ancestral talisman that belongs to the Gouldwicks, you must take it as well.
I think I want to see what that looks like.
Well, you tell me what it is.
I think it's like a trophy, but like has a Mario figure on it.
How about we say an important figure on it? A trophy with an important figure, like Lolth, let's say?
No, Terry Fox.
Okay, yeah, sure. Terry Fox is a very, very important drow figure
Terry
of society.
Fox.
Yes, but we have to change it to a drow-like name. So Terry Fox, and it's a woman. Her name is Terry Fox. She's very, very important. Okay. What color is it, this trophy with Terry Fox upon it?
It's swirled black and dark blue.
If you accept this taking of the trophy, then I will give you these items. You will return them to me after you are done the mission.
So be it.
Very well.
She reaches into the bookshelf and pulls out from a little purple box a dart. It looks like a normal dart. What color is it, Savannah?
Red.
It is a red, blood red dart, and the tip glows a little bit, and it has the tougher crest. Then she goes to her desk and she pulls a set of keys from her pocket and she unlocks the special drawer where all of your childhood toys that were taken away go. And she opens the drawer, reaches in and pulls out. And this drawer holds many, many things. You think it might have a bag of holding spell in the drawer so that she can just store whatever she wants in it. And she pulls out of the drawer two items. The first item is a wand, It is a wand of dispel magic. She proffers the dart. She puts the dart and the wand on the table. And then this other item she sets down is very strange. It looks like it's about a foot of black fabric. And she says, take these items. I would like it very much if you came back alive, my son. These others, though, feel free to leave them behind. And then she leaves the office. How do you divvy out these three items to the five members of the Lord's Own here?
There are six of us, right?
Well, five in the room.
Five. Well, then there would be two people left. I have my multi-tools, so I'm good.
Are you? Because currently, you're the only person who can use this wand of dispel magic.
Okay, fine. I'll take it.
Well, Flash can also use a wand of dispel magic, but Flash will probably be busy with his sword, and it is by far better to put something in your hand, Sasha, since you very rarely carry anything. But who is good at throwing darts?
I would probably be very good at throwing darts.
I would think so, too. And while Flash, yes, you are great at throwing darts, and DJ, you are also great at throwing darts, your swords will doubtlessly be needed at some point in this adventure, and the dart is going to be most useful by this person over here who is a rogue and uses them. The family dart fits into your palm as though you have used it before. And do you know how to play darts where you throw them at a dartboard?
Yeah.
Okay, that is what it looks like. Who looks at this last item that the mom has put on the table? Flash and DJ rush over and they pick it up. And as it unfolds, it seems to be a circle, a black circle that is about 5 feet in diameter.
Oh no, a black hole.
It's kind of like a black hole because this is a portable hole. And what you can do with it is if you put it on the floor, it'll open a hole to the next floor down.
Whoa.
Or if you threw it up against a wall, it would open a hole into the next room.
I remember that. I used to use it to spy on Mom while she was working.
Yes. You got in lots of trouble with Chari, and it actually belongs to the Gouldwicks, but your family has it right now. Yes.
Maybe we can use the black hole to get into the vent.
The portable hole? Maybe it will be very
black hole.
Sure, you can call it black hole. Maybe it will be very, very handy for this coming adventure. Who would like to carry the portable hole? Why don't the two of you who are grabbing it have a chat about the portable hole?
I get to.
I think I should because if you have it, because you could use your shocking graph sword in case we need to use our weapons. And your shocking grasp sword, I think, would be good.
Better than your magical greatsword? Okay, well, that's a good point.
DJ, you're more skilled in fighting than Flash is.
They're about equivalent skill in fighting. The two of them are having a chat. Do both of you still want to keep the portable hole for yourselves to use? Or are you willing to give it to the other person? Flash, do you want it? Or are you willing to let DJ have it?
I want it.
DJ, are you willing to let Flash have it?
Yes.
Then I will reward your giving that to him with something else in this adventure. You get to maintain and hold the portable hole, okay?
Can I keep it?
You may try to keep it afterwards. We'll see what happens. Okay, now, to speed things along, Christopher gets dressed in his rogue gear and his family colors and wears his family crest. And all of you have to take off your Lord's Own cloaks. They have to be taken off and put away, and you all have to wear cloaks of the House Tougher.
Can I keep the cloak?
Yes, so you all have to put on House Tougher cloaks with the hoods pulled up. And you have to follow Christopher, whose hood is left down, through the streets. If you do this, then you will not be accosted by the guards and the soldiers on the streets of Menzo Baranzan. So you make your way to the Gouldwick house. You stop about half a block away from the Gouldwick mansion, their manor. You are huddled up in a little alleyway alcove. It is now just after lunchtime in Menzo Baranzan, and the light is about halfway up the tall column in the middle of the city.
I kind of imagine
that we're all fitting into our tougher cloaks. And I imagine that I'm like finicking with my hair and making sure that none of its cyanity is showing. And I like put my ears away and so with my tail.
Okay, you are perfectly covered and hidden away in the tougher cloak. No one can tell that you are a tabaxi. If they were to casually glance at you, you are hidden away in an alley. There are two guards standing at the entranceway to the Gouldwick house. You don't remember those guards ever being there before. They have a clear line of sight on the vent that you would like to open and enter.
Well, I wonder, because it is a disabler, I wonder, do the guards count as security that it might be able to disable?
Oh, the wand of dispel magic? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
The wand of dispel magic would not do anything to these guards, because they are just regular drow.
What about the portal?
You could do something with the portal. I don't know what you would want to do with the portable hole, though.
Let's get through the wall with the portable hole.
Yes, you could do that.
I want to do it.
Because we do have the stun dart, I know all the hiding locations.
Well, how high do I have to aim?
So, the portable hole is probably something that you used or tried around with before you left. And you can throw the portable hole onto a wall and it'll, or open it up onto a wall, and it'll allow you to step through that wall and into another room.
Can the portable hole come back?
That's the trick, is that you can't really get the hole from the other side. So if you step through, you can't gather up the hole. You can only gather up the hole from the side you threw it on.
So we might want to wait in case we come across a heavily fortified room or something to get through the wall there. Because I can picklock some things and we can picklock some things with tools. But again, we can't picklock everything.
So right now, we're at the first step here. And what's most important right now is how do you deal with these two guards that are standing guard in front of the Gouldwick house?
I just want to ask this question. Do we walk straight up, guys, or do we like nod our heads, or like does Christopher say anything?
You are hidden away in this alley. You can see the two guards. That's all we've done.
I will run through the vent.
You'll run right up to the vent? But the guards will see you if you do that.
I'm going to put up my hood.
Okay, yeah, your hood is already up so that people can't tell that you're human and not a drow. You're hidden away in an alleyway. You have to come up with a way to distract the guards or put the guards to sleep or sneak away around the guards in such a way that they can't see you, so you have enough time to use the multi-tool to open up the vent.
Hey, guys, if my mother wants this dart returned back, wouldn't that mean that it's multi-use?
Yes.
I have a spell that might scare them. I could use message and point out one of the guards and be like, run, run quickly, run.
Yeah, maybe we do that to one of them and we hit the other with the dart. Because we don't have two darts, otherwise that's what we do. We just throw a dart at each of them.
I like Chris's idea. Because if we, like, scare one and then make something happen to the other one, the one that we scare will think it's true and run.
Well, even if we're able to scare them temporarily, even if they do come back, we'll have already hit the other guard with the darts. Then we'd be able to pick it up and hit the guard that comes back with it again.
Sounds pretty risky. All the guards need to do is shout to raise an alarm. To get somebody else from the Gouldwicks to come and inspect and see what's going on.
But I feel like I would say message that he would hit the dart and then he, like, it's risky, but if I say run and they don't run, then he can just hit him again. It's risky, but it's the only choice we have right now.
Well, it's the only option you've come up with so far. There's things you can think about.
I can hold them.
That's a great spell.
You could hold their mouths closed.
Well, if you cast hold person and it takes effect, that person cannot move at all or cry out or do anything.
Ooh, that'd be good for the second guard.
I might be able to sneak up and knock them out.
I think if they're both there, it'd be risky to use the stun dart because didn't Chris's mom say that the name was on it?
I think that hold person is my best option.
If you cast hold person as a level 3 spell, you can actually hold more than one person or attempt to hold more than one person. You could hold two people with hold person at cast at a level 3 spell, but you only have two level 3 spell slots. So that would use up one of those two spell slots to try to do that.
I think it's the best we have.
Yeah, that would be good.
Georgington then says, well, couldn't we just pretend to be walking by the house that when, at the right juncture, our tabaxi friend, just as we're walking in front of the guards, casts the hold person spell. DJ and Flash, or DJ and I, grab them if they are in fact held. And if they are not held, we would know. And you could hit them with the stun dart right in front of them. Because as we experienced when we made use of the stun dart earlier, as long as the stun dart is in them, is stuck into the person, that it functions like a hold person spell. What do you think?
One of them was like the whole thingy.
Yeah, I think we should go with Georgington's plan.
Same.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Same.
Thank you very much for saying that. But the only thing I've added to the plan at all is just saying that we walk in front of them when we do those things. That's really all I did, but I will take all of the credit, says George.
I will take all the credit.
That's why you're part of our team.
I will give you all of the credit.
And if it doesn't work, I'll get all of the blame.
It's sad that Isaac left, though.
Yes. I hope he is doing well. Now then, I recommend that Chris is in the lead, as he would be normally, that Flash brings up the rear, and that Sasha is in the middle, flanked on either side by myself and DJ. What is the code word that you need to tell us if hold person doesn't work, so that Chris needs to hit one of them with his dart? Maybe just one word.
Let's use my last name, Kikian. Easy pronouncing and quite good everywhere.
Kikian left and Kikian right would tell us that the left person is not affected by the hold person and the right person would not be held by the spell. And what would you say if both of them are not affected by the spell and we have a big problem on our hands?
Kikian too.
You would be responsible, DJ, for Kikian left. I will be responsible for Kikian right.
No, I want to be responsible for Kikian right.
Then, by all means, be responsible for Kikian right. May I hold the portable hole then?
I put it in my pocket.
Georgington brings up the rear. He's made the suggestion. You will go forward. Now, I need a really, really easy group stealth check. I'm not looking for much. A DC of 8. For the whole group. So everybody roll your stealth. Not looking for much. Just to kind of sneakily walk by. See if somebody rolls a 1 and utterly fails. So did anybody, including their bonuses, get under an 8? The group walks up nice and calmly. Christopher walks by the two guards. Do you look at the two guards? Nod at them or do anything as you walk by?
No, I just keep on walking to try and raise the least suspicion possible.
As you walk by, Sasha, you come along right in range of the two, and you cast your spell.
Is a code word, or is like a spell word needed?
Use the spell word, the verbal component.
Tongues of fly and 4 on 5.
Pretty gorgeous color. They now need to make, Robin, is it a constitution save? Is it a wisdom save? Do you know any of those things?
I don't know.
Let me just flip back here to the level 2 spell. A wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration. All right, I am going to roll my check. Do you know what the spell to save DC is for your character?
What?
It is 8 plus your proficiency bonus of 3, which is 11, plus your intelligence bonus, which is plus
4.
So can you write 15 on the second page in the middle one at the top that says spell save DC? That way we don't have to do that math again.
Is there a spell called duplicate?
Probably. Not something that Flash knows yet, though. All right, here we go. They're going to make their checks. Do you guys want to see the dice rolls?
Yeah.
Here we go. They have both failed, getting a natural 1 and a natural 7. Their bodies lock up tight. They are motionless, frozen. Their eyes, they look around like, but they can't talk, and they stand there.
Do they get choked?
DJ and Flash, it's your turn. Sasha doesn't say anything because the spell has gone off, so she doesn't need to say Kikian left, Kikian right, or Kikian 2. She says nothing at all. Maybe she smiles?
I have a smile on my face, but as soon as they turn to look at me, I just wipe it off completely, and I look like there's nothing ever there. But under the darkness of my cloak, my pointed teeth are very sharp and are clinking against my bottom teeth.
Okay. Good. I can imagine why that would happen. Now, do you grab your guards?
Yeah.
Okay, do you grab your guard, Flash?
I will throw him into space.
Well, that would be really hard to do since you're underground. But you grab him anyway, and then you head over to the vent. Now, here's what happens. Every round, those two guards are going to get to make a saving throw against being held. So for the first round, you carry them over to the location. But what are you going to do now? Are you going to tie them up?
I feel like we tie them up.
And you gag them? And where do you put them?
Definitely cover their mouths.
We put them next to the gate and we leave a little note. Well, are you going to free them or not? The tougher family. I feel like that'd be very funny.
Well, what happens if somebody finds them while you're in the house? Because you might be in the house for a couple of hours.
I think we should tie them up and tie their mouths closed. So once the spell wears off, they can't like shout for help.
Oh, yeah, that I agree with that for sure.
So you put, like, a piece of fabric in their mouth?
I will do this. I will probably throw one of my lightning shocking, please don't wear off, on to one of their, like, teeth. So it, like, shocks one of their teeth. They're like,
if they try to talk, he will put like shocking grasp onto one of their teeth. So if they try to talk, it'll like hurt their mouth every time.
I don't think that's necessary. You're just going to tie them up and gag them. So they will get each of them a roll in the interim while you're tying up and gagging them. And they both fail again with a 4 and a 5. So they must just like being held. So you tie them all up with the rope that you have in your packs. You gag them, tie their mouths shut as well. But then where do you put them? There are a couple of buildings across the street. There's a building next door. There is...
I think we should hide them somewhere in case another one of the guards comes out and finds them.
I was thinking that we'd put them like at the... because it's like it's like a long wall, right? And so we would put it along the side of the left side of the road. And if there's like any nooks or things, we could like put them in the nook or crannies.
Well, I will try to like pickpocket them.
Okay, sure. You can go through their pockets. They have about 42 gold in their pockets. And they're carrying very nice looking weapons.
Give me 100 gold.
Who's going to give you 100 gold?
For 42 gold.
Well, you can take their money. This is not a very lawful thing to do, though. Just so you know, you're not really obeying the laws by stealing from somebody. So if your character is a lawful good character, then I don't recommend stealing from people.
Well,
he doesn't even have an alignment.
Yeah, but he said that he's lawful good many times in the past. It's just not written on a sheet because he can't write yet. So
I can't read. All
so
right.
Is your character truly lawful good or are you going to steal from these people?
My character is kind of lawful good.
Okay, so you wouldn't steal from these people then.
It's kind of lawful
good. I would though.
You will? What's your alignment?
I'm kidding. Oh, okay. Lawfully
good. Oh, okay. All
right. I am a thief.
I am not. I'm kind of lawful good.
Okay, you're kind of lawful good.
But so I am a thief.
You are a thief. But this is stealing these guards' pay, which they get for doing their job. You're not going to steal their money, but you also happen to find a ring of keys on one of them. Do you take the ring of keys?
Yeah,
for
you've
sure.
You've got this ring of keys. So let's make sure you make a mark on your character sheet to say that you've got this ring of keys. I'll make it right now so that I can write it down later. You take the keys. They fail their check. They're also trapped again. Now, you have these other walls that are nearby you. You've got them all bound and gagged. You could use the portable hole to see if there's anything, any what's on the other side of these other buildings nearby.
Yeah!
Do it.
There's buildings across the street. There's a wall that's just next to you. There's the street that you're standing on. Okay, you can take out the portable hole and you put it on the street. And it opens up a hole down into a sewer.
Oh, I shouldn't have done
that. Do we put them in the sewer?
I want to put them in the sewer.
That's jerky, though.
But it will keep them from finding their way back up anytime soon.
I don't think we
because
should.
The openings to the sewer system are near the other side of the city, so...
There's access points all over the place, otherwise it wouldn't be useful or doable.
I won't do it.
You don't want to do that? Okay, you want to try one of the buildings across the street?
I want to try inside the house.
You want to put them inside the house?
No, I want to save the portable hole.
Oh, you can use the portable hole many, many times. There's no need to just use it once or twice.
I can use it anytime?
Yes.
I open it up to for the sewers and throw them into it.
All right. So he opens it up to the sewer and he starts to push them into the sewers. Is everybody going to be okay with that? Or do you need to stop him or what?
I'm going to stop him.
What's the idea then that you want to offer instead to do with the guards? Because you wanted the guards put away so people couldn't see them. This is definitely a way and people can't see them. So where else should they go?
Maybe like a building that's like abandoned or doesn't have someone who lives in it.
All right, why don't you ask Flash if he'll do that? If he can stop pushing the guys in to the hole and asking them, okay?
Poor guys, if they're in the sewer, what are they going to eat?
I have fresh bread.
Why do this? Why can't we just put them in like a building that has no one in it?
I will keep doing this.
They're just doing their job, so to me, I think it would be mean to just push them into a sewer and not know where they're going.
I agree with DJ, like... I don't really agree with the building idea, but we could put them somewhere else than... Oh, I don't know, stuff them into a sewer? What did they do to deserve that? All they were doing was their job. They don't deserve to be stuffed into a sewer.
I know inside there was a map inside my backpack at Chris's home, but it shows stuff in Men's Oberensen, and there's a house behind the cave.
There's a house that's somewhere nearby that might not have any people in it?
No. There's a lot of people in it.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want to use that house. 100. Okay. Well, that's not very helpful then. So where else could we put them? You guys were hiding in an alleyway just a little bit down. You could go put them there.
Why don't we just put them in the alley?
Yeah, you could go put them in the alley.
Let's just decide because they're going to get free any soon.
They won't be freed anytime soon because they've been gagged and they've been tied up. So we're okay there. They're all tied up and gagged. And you're just trying to make a quick decision. And I'm not saying that because you guys are taking a bit of time here to make that decision, that you guys aren't making a decision quickly in game. I'm not penalizing you there.
Let's not take their weapons and keep them, but let's at least take it off of them so that if they do manage to break free, they can't cut themselves out of the ropes.
Let's do what we did with the goblin.
Well, we don't want to do that because with the kobold, you mean? We don't want to put their weapons nearby because we don't want them getting freed. Because you guys might be in the house for a very long time. You might be in the house for 8 hours, 10 hours, who knows? As long as you need to be in the house to get the things that you know, because you don't know where they are, you need to have as much time as possible. That's why the sewers
were
good.
Should we split the party inside the house?
And it's a really big house.
Like, so big, it has 100 floors, goes up to space.
There's now two options. The first option is put them in the sewers. The second option is put them in the alley. Is there any other options?
Even though we don't see them, there are probably more options.
Do you have another option?
No, but I'm just saying there are plenty of other places to hide them.
So those are our two options right now. Do you have any other ideas, Robin?
No.
I have an idea. Put them in the sewers underground sewers.
The first option of the alleyway means that they will be found faster, and if they can work their bonds off or free themselves in some way, they will come back to the house quicker because the alleyway is still pretty open. It's not like they'll be tucked away. So they will be able to make move and roll and crawl and possibly get out. And so that is an option, but it will not give you a ton of time. The other option is if you put them in the sewers, then they'll be all stinky and they won't be happy and they'll be trapped down there until somebody in the sewers finds them or you guys rescue them later. Because that doesn't mean you couldn't come and get them later and free them if you have the option and ability to do so.
They need a bath after they're in the sewers.
Probably. So those are your two options. What does the group want to do?
I'm not up for either. I will only vote if there's a tie.
There can't really be a tie.
There can't be a tie.
Bye.
And who is voting for the alleyway?
I would, but since they could get out quicker and they can easily be found, I think it would be a better choice to go with Flash's idea.
Put them in the sewers, knowing that you guys will try to get them out when you're done?
Yeah.
Would that be something everybody wants to do? That would be the good person action?
Yeah.
And also, even if they do manage to get freed, I'm not sure guards that are meant to guard, like, the streets and houses would know their way around in the sewers. So it might take them a bit longer than a dude that knows where, like, all the manholes are and stuff.
They're not, like, plumbers.
You put the portable hole down, you lower these two guards down into the sewers, then you pull your rope back up that you used to lower them down into it. You make sure that they're not lying in gunk and junk and whatnot. Their faces register expressions of like of worry and fear.
And I put them right upside down. Sand on their eyes.
Georgington then rolls them over and then Georgington comes back up at the top of the hole and he says, I certainly hope there aren't any giant rats down there that can attack them as he gathers up the portable hole and he gives it back to Flash.
I will throw it on the wall.
Now the vent is now available. You can use your portable tool to undo the vent covers if you would like.
Yes, I do that.
Okay. Can I get just a general intelligence check from you?
Just to make sure that you know how to do it.
15.
All right. You get the screws out. You open up the vent. You put it off to the side. And it is actually, in fact, big enough for all of you to climb in. So who climbs in first?
Me!
Me!
Okay, so everybody gets piled up into the front as you all fight to be the first person into the vent.
I think Christopher should go first because he knows this place the best.
Christopher knows the place best, and I bet Christopher also has the best stealth skill too. So if need be, he
can
go forward.
I have a 7 stealth.
You could go second.
I have plus 10 for stealth.
You sneak in first, Christopher. You sneak in second, Sasha. Flash follows up, and then DJ brings up the rear, pulling the vent closed behind her. And now you are all inside the Gouldwick house.
You never said that Georgington entered the vent?
I didn't say Georgington or Flamma. All I said was, you're in the lead, Sasha's second, Flash is third, and DJ is bringing up the rear.
Oh, so they're staying outside to make sure nobody's...
I didn't say that either.
Are they coming in?
It could be that Georgington and Flamma are in between Flash and DJ.
Oh, you're right. You never said when they were.
But it also could be that they didn't come into the house. I'm just leaving it open for myself that if Flamma's here at the next game, I can insert him in. And if Flamma's not here at the next game, I can continue to not make any mention of him other than that he wasn't feeling well earlier. It's a tool I use. If you don't talk about them, then they might still be there. If I do mention them one way or the other and I say that they stayed outside, well, then I have to work to have them suddenly come back into the game later. So right now, we don't know if they are or are not still there.
They're stealthing against us.
As you creep along through the vents, I need two different checks from you. I need stealth checks and perception checks.
With the same die.
Yep, exactly. Stealth first.
I got a 22.
I got a 9.
14.
Now everybody make your perception check.
I got a 1 and a 9.
It's 10.
I got a 17 for perception.
9.
All right. So it basically in order there, as people are moving along the pathway, you are all very, very quiet. You work your way along the vent until it comes into a larger opening that leads down into like where the furnace would be for the air to circulate through the house. As it opens, you're all able to climb out. But when you've climbed into this larger ventilation room sort of thing that has an access door in it, as you step out into this room that you've never been in before, you hear a whoosh sound as some sort of fire has been lit, and you kind of hear a quiet alarm in the distance. Those of you that got higher than 15, that alarm sounds like what, Will?
It sounds like this.
What that whoosh was, and what that alarm is in relation to, you'll have to find out
next time.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with another episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. You can find the Okie Dokie Brothers on iTunes at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes, and you can also find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. Thanks for listening.
If you'd come wandering my way, if you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. Round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.